Bloomington aldermen discussed city and library taxes and management of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Aldermen agreed to a slight increase for the library levy, but despite looming structural deficit, held the line on taxes, which helped balance the city's budget previously. In the studio is Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. The community's mayors join us on Sound Ideas most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Terry, thanks for stopping by Sound Ideas.
Great to be here.
How do property taxes levied by the city compare with other nearby communities? Was there movement or room to move those property taxes up to help address what is a looming structural deficit in the community?
Oh, absolutely. We have not really effectively raised the city of Bloomington's share of property taxes in about 8-9 years. Now, my property taxes have gone up. You know, anybody who lives in Bloomington knows that. It's not because of the city's portion. Actually, the city's portion has gone down by several hundred dollars for the average person. We have made a decision as a council to keep the hold the line on property taxes because we know the school districts depend exclusively on that, as does the library. And so we're leaving that to the other taxing authorities. We're going to hold the line this year. On our budget, we may explore some fees. We might even re-explore. I think we should re-explore video poker machines, which cost nothing. Yet $1 million is taken out of our economy every week because of that. I think there are many other things that we can explore other than property taxes, which are, I think, very unfair and very regressive.
So you still are, though, taking one tool out of the toolbox to address the $3 million
Absolutely. And I'm okay taking that tool out because I was not planning on using that tool. And I don't think the council was.
So the effect that the actual effect on the vote last night on the levy is meaningless to the average property taxpayer, right?
Their taxes are not going to go up. They're not going to go up. And then the $4 for the library is not for a year is not really something that many people are going to really even notice. Now, the school systems may need to do that. The thing they also need to keep in mind and is that who knows what the state could do. The state could freeze property taxes, mm-hmm. which means your costs may go up and you may have real problems, especially our schools.
So we're back to golf courses and solid waste. What happened to the solid waste task force you appointed? There was a task force to look at solid waste and try to address that.
They were supposed to come back with a solution. This is 3 years ago, I believe. Two and a half years ago.
Yeah.
It collapsed after a couple of weeks because the city council is composed of 9 people from 9 wards, and all of them wanted to have something different. And we thought we had an agreement. I mean, this was years before I even became mayor. And it lasted another 2 years. You'd think if you have an enterprise fund, you either cut the service or you charge more for the service. There's only one of two ways to balance a budget. And unfortunately, we keep running deficits. And I'm hopeful that I'm always hopeful that the council will come forward and try to close that gap. But that was an absolute unmitigated failure. So, obviously, we've never come back with a solution on trash.
Well, let me continue with the word failure. I mean, you're right back. The city is right back where it was 3 years ago, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what's happened in the past 3 years to address the budget issues that we knew would be facing, that the city would be facing today?
You're talking about with solid waste?
Solid waste, everything.
I mean, we've done lots of things on other than solid waste. Absolutely.
You're back to talking about a golf course again, right?
No, this is Alderman Sage talking about golf courses that are in his ward, and that's just silly. We have information that the staff provided quite clearly that even privatizing the golf courses is not going to save us any money.
So what has the city and what has council done in terms of addressing the structural deficit?
Absolutely.
We have
followed everything that the budget task force tried to do. We have tried to search down anything we could, and some of them were fruitful. Most, you know, they're minor things, but most of the big ticket items weren't. It turned out selling our golf courses, privatizing our golf courses is not going to help because we're still on the line for capital expenditures.
So
it turns out that there are any number of things that the budget task force asked us to take a look at that showed us there is no pot of gold. We went from having 850 full-time equivalent employees 9 years ago to 750 today, and we have more people. So we're delivering the same services to more people with fewer employees. And so that doesn't mean we can't make some cuts. It's just much more difficult, and we got to be very careful. careful and surgical about making those cuts. So I say the budget task force was a success. Any solid waste subcommittee that was supposed to go get together, and that was highly informal, they never came back because you couldn't get five votes on the city council to agree on anything having to do with trash.
Well, the budget task force, though, weren't they saved by one of the recommendations, which was basically to look at revenue increases, and the city adopted or accepted the sales tax increase.
Right.
That, that helped, right?
Right. Well, and that was also that we did have a penny sales tax increase. A quarter penny goes to the county for mental health. A quarter penny goes directly to streets and infrastructure. It's earmarked. And a half penny goes to the operations of the city. And that's one of the things that we found is that, okay, we have funded our pensions and we have gotten an award for funding our police fire pensions. We don't need fewer cops. We don't need fewer firefighters. Nobody seems to want to give up at anything on solid waste or brush pickup or bulk waste pickup.
So where are the big cuts going to come to find the $3 million, and will the council have the stomach to make those cuts?
I don't know where else they're going to come from other than Parks and Rec. Unless you abandon all of Parks and Rec, which we can't do and we're not going to do, is there are no things. We've got to explore other ways of trying to be more efficient. We might very well find some things that are small that we could privatize. There may be some other small ways. We're constantly looking at ways for
debts. It has to total $3 million, though.
We're going to get there.
Okay. Before we talk about the Bloomington Public Library and the property tax increase to support the library, I have to state, as Connect Transit's board chair, I've spoken in favor of the Tier 1 Catalyst project that is in the Bloomington Task Force report for a joint library, Connect Transit Transfer Center, and parking garage at the current Market Street parking garage
location. I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to tell you, I'm not chair of the Connect Transit Board, but I have done exactly the same thing.
Okay.
I have spoken publicly in favor of that. I think it is a very good idea for us to at least explore the possibilities. And that's what the task force was designed to do. And its main goal, its main governing documents were our downtown plan and our comprehensive plan that thousands and thousands of people were involved in producing. What it was, there was one vote that was not a formal vote. It was just an informal straw poll back in June as to whether or not the city council thought it was a good idea to keep it at its current location. And I was actually one of those who said I thought it would be better to keep it at its current location. But there is this thing called evidence and facts. And we may be in the Trump era, but facts and evidence matter. And that's why I don't know that I'm totally there yet, but I'm about 80% there.
So the Bloomington Public Library will get a bump, a levy bump, more revenue from property taxes. Not much. Why was this increase okay?
I think this was essential. We are still lower than every other metro, lower than normal, lower than Decatur, lower than Springfield, in terms of the amount of that is levied for our library. And no matter what, the library needs capital expenditures. The council may very well decide they don't want the project that downtown. Okay. If they want to continue and expand on the current site, okay. Or, at the very least, they're going to need to fix up the current facility. So no matter what, they need money for capital expenditures. So there are really three items. I'm guessing the two most likely would be expanding on its current location or moving to the Market Street Garage and partnering with Connect Transit. But if those things don't happen, they're still going to need capital expenditures.
So in your mind, is this levy increase tied to where the library may be located in the future or whether expansion happens?
It's not tied at all, and I don't quite understand why there was confusion about this last night. It is not tied at all. No matter what happens, the library is going to need capital expenditures to make capital improvements. There are no free lunches, and they need that money.
Here's how Alderman Jamie Mathey put it last night, his view of how the increased revenue could be used.
I mean, my personal preference would be I would like to get a better idea of what, when, and where, and how this is all going to work. So to me, this would be a good spend of those dollars trying to figure that part out of what this all looks like. I know there's still some other outstanding questions, but I think that's an important piece of all this going forward. Before we launch into any kind of a bigger capital campaign, we need more of a solid idea of what you guys are thinking about. So I think I would support this completely. So,
Ward 1 Alderman Jamie Mathey from last night's council meeting. What do you think? Can some of this money be used for planning purposes?
It certainly can. It again, it's It is for capital improvements, long-term change. There has been some money spent on investing and looking at the current location. That happens all the time. And it doesn't mean that you're tied to that. It could be that there are other options. There are sometimes where many cities have explored, not just for libraries, two or three or four sites, and then they decide on one. And that's, so that's what I think is one of the reasons why I have strongly encouraged the city council to go to the National League of Cities, to go to the Ohlone Municipal League, talk to people in other communities and other places, so you have a comparative perspective on economic development, on building of libraries, or whatever it might be. Frankly, yeah, I would say if you do not have, and I'm dating myself, if you don't have the equivalent of a Rolodex of at least 10 pals who are in your position in other places that you can pick up the phone and talk to immediately, you're not doing your job. And that's desperately needed in all communities, and especially in Bloomington.
That's Mayor Terry Renner in the studio for Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Why not consolidate management of the BCPA and the arena with one management organization? Why not VenueWorks for the BCPA?
Well, there were several issues involved in this. One was the track record of VenueWorks, and they, let's put it this way, they inherited a mess. Let's start with that. And I said that to Lynn Cannon last night. We know you inherited a mess. But in the year and a half or so that you've been involved, you have made some improvements, certainly some improvements in transparency. We're very appreciative of that. But it's not like there's been a home run or even a triple hit in terms of bookings. And we do realize that there is a time that is necessary to get up to speed. But we are not there yet. The other thing is, and I think former Mayor Jesse Smart brought this up very well in his public comments, and that is there are 200 to 300 people who volunteer for the BCPA, and they do it because it is a public good, not because they want to try to improve the profits of a particular organization.
So if you think VenueWorks had more time to prove itself, more time to turn around the arena, they might have gotten that contract to manage the BCPA?
I think it would have been a much, much closer call.
Yes. Jim Waldorf with the Friends of the BCPA spoke last night and expressed some frustration. Let's listen to what he had to say, and then I'll ask you about it.
I don't understand why we've had all of the delays with getting an executive director rehired, getting a grant writer rehired, getting the open positions at the BCPA refilled, rehired, because we're getting constant discussion about the deficit, but the very people, the very positions that would help us eliminate that deficit or control that deficit and be successful have been left empty.
Now that the city has committed to managing the BCPA, what about those positions Jim Waldorf speaks of?
And those are positions that need to be filled. And I realize this is an administrative question. It is an administrative question I had many conversations with the previous city manager about. I think that there are people at the BCPA who felt that they had been stifled. And there is also the argument that, hey, if you might privatize this, then why hire some new people?
So that was the delay, you think?
That was the I think for the delay? That was the delay. And
or
I think
Jim
that was
Waldorf put it a tap on the brakes. You know, the brakes were being tapped, even though the...
I think the brakes were easily being tapped, if not maybe a more strong metaphor.
So what or who was responsible for the delay in hiring what sounds like critical positions for the BCPA?
Well,
for former city manager Ailes?
Ultimately, I mean, obviously Jay Tetzloff is the head of Parks and Rec, but he also reports to former city manager Ailes. And this is definitely one of those areas that... we've had multiple conversations with. I've had many conversations with Mr. Ailes about this very issue.
So the council has made its decision that the city will manage the BCPA, so full steam ahead on hiring critical positions for the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts.
By full steam ahead, we are going to take a look at every position, and some of those positions that Jim Waldorf mentioned, I think, are essential. But we're going to be looking at every position before we approve this particular budget, because obviously we're in tough budget times. But the BCPA has had the noose around its neck, and that has been very harmful. And I think we've got to look at not just the money in the short run, but the money in the long run. And remember what former Mayor Jesse Smart said. This was never supposed to be a money-producing venue. This was supposed to be a community contribution to quality of life and to arts and culture in our community.
Okay, Terry, thanks for your time. Always more questions than we have time for.
Okay,
Mayor thanks. Terry Renner joins us most Tuesdays following Monday evening Bloomington Council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Coos. It's Sound Ideas.